Adam, how are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm fantastic, Jack. How about yourself?
I am also fantastic. Beautiful summer day. Well, it's not summer officially, but it sure feels like it. The weather doesn't know it's not official, does it?
Nope, it just does what it does.
Just keeps blowing along, you know? It's a good blow tonight, though. Nice temperature, maybe high 70s, early 80s, and a little breeze coming out of the south. Makes it a little moist, but that's all right. Blue sky, mostly.
Good. Put you in a good mood, right, Jack?
It does. A good mood. Yeah, I took a walk, and the walk was nice. People are friendly. People are smiling. Around here, anyway. Good people. Should hire them. I should try to hire them, right? Just go down when I pass them, and they give you a nice greeting, and they look very pleasant. Should, hey, are you looking for a job? That's what I should start asking people. I get a list of 10 people, 10 good people. I'll peddle them. All our clients are always looking for good people. Our vendors. We got a lot of vendors too lately. We don't have a lot of vendors.
You're going to be brokering, people here? We're going to be in the people brokering business?
Why not? We're always talking about it, and all our clients are always looking for them. Our friends are looking for good people. How come it's so hard to find good people? And we've been talking about this on these podcasts a little bit. And it's a real problem. There's no question about it. We like to talk about the difficulty in trying to find them and drawing the analogy with the professional football, actually professional sports, actually almost sports at any level, but just focusing on professional sports with all the billions that they have that they throw out there to try to get good people. They got every conceivable expert, psychologist, psychiatrist, experienced coaching people who can spot talent and have a history of being able to have a pretty decent record. And they put all these resources to play every year. This is football we're talking about, with the combine and the scouting and the research going back with these guys 22 years old who checking their high school films and putting all of this time and money into it, spending billions collectively. And look at what do they do with the first round draft choices? Look what they do with they blow it, right? Not all the time, of course, but a good percentage they miss.
Sure.
So here you are, Mr. Small Business Owner USA, looking for good people. And what do? You spend maybe a few thousand bucks with a recruiter. The recruiter runs through a bunch of resumes, sends them to you, and you're going to find the good people. Let's see, billions of dollars spent with the NFL and a couple thousand spent with Small Business Owner USA. Who do you think would we have continual problems with trying to find good people? I'm going to say,
the NFL?
Mr. Yeah, almost. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. But unfortunately, not the right one. So I think finding good people, even if you got money, it's not an issue. Money is not the issue. People must mask themselves pretty well, because when they interview, they turn up one side of the personality. And when they start the company, start working for the company, sides of them appear that just were never anticipated. And you have all these checkoff sheets, and you have all this collaboration, with, hey, should we hire Adam? This Adam guy seems pretty good. Well, he checks out here, 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 but.
That's a good start. He has the right name.
Yeah, but he didn't make the cut on this company, so.
Okay. Well, not all Adams can win. That's all right.
So what do we do? So what do we do with this, Adam?
Well, let me step way back for a second. You started delving into where some of the issues are. I think maybe if we start big picture, Jack, is we're trying to figure out how do you find good people, right? Well, before we can find good people, I got to know what one looks like, don't I? Doesn't it start there?
It always helps, doesn't it? It always helps.
So, and if you start to ask some questions like, what's a good person worth to your business? What's it do for you if you have just one good person? I mean, one good person can make a whole world of difference when it comes to any business, but especially a small business. So how do you define what that good person looks like? Because if you don't know what they look like, they may be walking by all the time. You just don't even know, right?
And about 6'2", 198 pounds.
Okay. That could be part of the, could be part of the stats, you know.
Sure. Short haircut.
Here's a, here's a trick we learned years ago, Jack. And it's something that, that came up recently with a client we were talking with. And she was lamenting that a key employee had, had just recently given her 2 week notice. And so we asked her the simple question that we learned from our buddy, Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great. And he talks about there in a chapter about this, where I don't think he uses the term good people, Jack, but again, it certainly makes the point here that when that person comes in, so picture that. And so this is true for, you know, this is the question we asked her. I said, well, when you got the news about the 2 week notice, I said, well, were you distraught and upset about it? Or were you secretly relieved? And she smiled and she goes, I was relieved. I said, okay. And you better take that 2 week notice and run with it and get her out of there, because she's not a good person, not a good person for you and for your team. Because when you have a good person, Jack, you are not relieved when they leave you. You're distraught. You're upset because they are a key person for what you're trying to do in your business. And they add a lot of good things into your business, right?
Well, most people don't know what a good person looks like, Adam. They might have had one and then they may not, which is usually the case. And so they labor along with a notion that there is no such thing as a good person, or there is, but they're defining it all wrong. It's not an easy thing to do, but your analogy that you just laid out is a good one. At least it lets you get the right framework for trying to find that good person.
Yeah, and he uses that, you know, when he talks about the whole idea of the bus, Jack. He talks about getting the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus. That's how he kind of uses that. So it's the same kind of thing. It's the idea of having a good person. Like, should this person be with their company or not? Should they be on your bus or not on your bus? And so, again, if you and Jack, I know almost everybody we talk to, whether it be clients or not, you know, any small business owners, you ask them that question and they ponder it. It almost always makes them smile because they know they have people in their company that they want to leave, right? But they just, you know, again, but they just haven't done it. And I think part of what you're saying, Jack, is they don't have the confidence that they can replace that person who might be so-so with somebody who's better than that. And so coming back to the, giving some of that definition of what that good person looks like, right? Okay, so they're 6'2", 198 pounds. That's a good start. But what other kind of things should they have as part of that business? And you start to kind of get that definition out there. One of the things that we see, though, is often that we'll see excuses, right, where they find reasons not to bring a good person on board, right? And so it may sound a little something like this, Jack. Hey, that person's really overqualified for this job.
Oh, yeah. Right? Isn't that a pain in the butt question?
We love that comment. One, right? Yeah, right. It's okay.
That's right.
Overqualified. What the heck does that mean, right? It's like, okay, well, come back to your football analogy, Jack. So I got the MVP, the NFL wants to come play for my high school team. We're going to say no to that? Assuming he's eligible, he can still play? Sure, we'll take him. Even though he's overqualified, let's take him, right? Why? Because he's going to add a ton to our team.
That's right.
Not only from what he does, you know, himself, but he brings all kinds of experience and know-how and a culture and a bunch of stuff he'd bring with him that even when he's not there anymore, he'd leave behind, right? Like a nice trail behind him of just good stuff. Of good stuff. So
the owners are self-defeating, you know, they get in their own way. They find reasons not to bring that person on board when they should be finding every reason to bring that person on board. They don't know what a successful person looks like, or they, you know, because they don't spend a hard time trying to find out. You know, just interviewing six candidates for a job, you know, you don't know if there's a good person in there unless you've experienced what a good person is. How many times do we find that when we help find what is a pretty good person, and that person comes on board and does what comparably are great things? What, you know, people discover this and say, my God, where has this person been? I wish I would have found her 10 years ago, you know?
Right.
So what is the owner looking for? They often don't know. There's so much they don't know. And that's one of them. That's one of the biggest ones. A good person could slip right underneath, right underneath them. They're right underneath their shoes. I sound like Joe Biden here. Biden, not Biden. Biden.
Biden. Okay.
Biden. And they miss the opportunity because they don't know. So much of the small business world is the owner not knowing what he doesn't know, or what she doesn't know. So how do you find a good person, Adam? How do you do that?
Well,
and then how do you hold on to them?
Well, so for the first point, you said it starts with kind of knowing what you're looking for, right? So it's getting that detail down in terms of what, not only in terms of what you want this person to do, in terms of kind of the duties and tasks for the job, but and background and skills are important, but there's also these qualities you want to be able to tap into, Jack, and certain qualities that you're looking for with that person. And there's different ways to be able to ferret those things out. Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things we often hear too is they'll sort of get a quality person, Jack, and they'll say, "Well, I can't afford that person. Right? I can't afford to hire that person."
That's right. That comes up often.
And so, a couple things there I just wanted to touch on. We can kind of dig in this a little bit. There's often two camps in terms when it comes to people. They'll look at hourly folks, like an hour, per hour rate versus a salary, and those mentalities, Jack, are very, very different. Very, very different. Okay. The folks who are the hourly folks are, that's how they think. They think in terms of hours. How many hours am I working as opposed to what am I accomplishing? All right. The salary folks tend to be more folks who aren't counting hours. They're looking at what needs to get done. And it has more that mentality and that approach that is, hey, the day is done when the work is done. That doesn't mean 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock. It means it's done when it's done, kind of thing. Right. And so often just in terms of how you're looking for that person, in terms of, it could be something as simple as that, where people are maybe missing the boat, Jack, where they need somebody who has more of that salary mentality, and yet they're hiring somebody who's an hourly person. Well, they're fishing in the wrong pond, so to speak, right? They're fishing all those hourly people that they aren't going to find what they're looking for. They got to go look in a different place. And so as you look to hire somebody, and part of the challenge would be, look, that salary, that's a big salary. It's a six-figure salary, Jack, right? And so he said, look, that's fine. Don't look at it being $100,000 if that's the salary. Look at it being one quarter of that. Let's say $25,000. That's a three-month window, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the idea being, hey, don't put the pressure to make a $100,000 decision here. Make a $25,000 decision instead on this person.
That's right.
You're gonna know in 3 months. You'll know probably even much sooner than that if they're the right fit or not. But you'll know. You'll know. And if they're as good as you hope they are, they're going to add all kinds of value to the business that will make up for whatever you paid them for that time, for sure. Now,
yeah, that's always the case. I've never seen it fail unless they're, the hiring was done by somebody else. Unless there's a compatibility issue, a good person. Defined as somebody who basically will get the job done, whatever that job is, to the best of their ability. And they may not be able to do every bit of that job personally, but they know when to call in the troops, when to ask for help, when to restructure, when to stop things a little bit, slow down. They have the confidence to know that it isn't working right. And the work that they do is very conscious of doing it well. And that's a good person, doing more, consulting, telling you how it is, not giving you just yes answers to your questions and comments. They become a good partner, a very good, solid partner. It's hard to pick up in the interviewing process. People tend to focus too much on the technical aspects. They're important. I'm not saying they aren't by any long shot. But basically, it's the soft skills you look for, how they think, how they take suggestions and during the interview, what they come back with little assignments. Those are very important characteristics that you want at a decent level employee to take the initiative. That's how it's demonstrated. That's how their skills are demonstrated. What you almost can never find is the compatibility of the personalities until you start working with each other. And then the real person comes out. They're on their best behavior, or should be, during an interview. But once they start to work for the company and work for you, the real side of them comes out. And that's very hard, if not impossible, to get the true picture during the interviewing process. But it doesn't mean you don't make decisions. You do. You have to. But good people are hard to find because of those skills, those characteristics.
So you're talking about soft skills, to use that term you use, Jack, right? Which is, and again, it's kind of the feel, right? As stupid as that sounds, the feel is very, very important, especially with a key person like this, right? Because they're going to be working a lot with you, most likely, as the owner, right? So the feel is important. Yeah, it's like going on a first date. I was laughing when you mentioned, on the interview, they're going to be on their best behavior. It's much like a first date, you would think, right? And so if you have to work so hard on that first date or that first interview, right, chances are it's not going to be the thing, or it just doesn't feel right. Even though that's on paper, right, they look great. Hey, I'm on that first date, and she checks off all the boxes, Jack, right? I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted, a certain height, whatever, mate, but where am I? Okay. But then I talk to the person, just like, doesn't feel right. I don't know, how to describe it other than it just doesn't feel right. There's got to be that chemistry. That's a big part of it. That's a very big part of it.
Well, that's what experience does. It allows you to, you've met enough bad people that you should have an instinct and a feel for when you meet another bad person. What should be kind of fun is meeting somebody who you don't have a good feel or you don't have a lot of experience feeling good about them. I'm trying to say this differently. When you've met so many bad people in the interviewing process through decades of interviewing and working with people, hiring and firing, doing all this good stuff, when you get a good person, the vibes that you're getting from that person are often strange because there just aren't enough of them in your history. And so you have a good feeling that you don't act on. That's what I think you're trying to say, and I'm trying to say it in a more clumsy way here. A good person, if you look at the number of people you hired and fired, good people in that mix are maybe 1 out of 50, 1 out of 30, some big number, really. So you got a lot of experience with hiring and firing and doing stuff with bad to moderate people. You don't have a lot of experience in hiring and dealing with good people. So your feelings don't pick that up in a way other than, geez, it's almost new and it's exciting. And that's the feeling that should be a big part of the soft skill that you use here.
So
in other words, yeah.
No, rambling around there, I'm thinking almost this thought came to my mind, which is, I think, another excuse we often hear, Jack, which is that it can be almost intimidating. Here I'm interviewing you to come in, and you're different than anybody else I've ever met before, right? All of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, all of a sudden, I'm having doubts, right? I'm thinking, well, I wouldn't even know how to direct somebody like you, Jack, right? And so all of a sudden, I get intimidated by you.
That's a good point.
I use that feeling to say, wait a minute, I get rid of this guy. I don't want to bring this guy in because all of a sudden I'm feeling off with him because I'm feeling intimidated because he's very capable. She's very capable. So I think that's often can get in the way.
They can do all these things. They answered the question so right that, my God, there's something wrong here. And you're so right, Adam, but there's something wrong.
Right.
So I want to get off the normal track of interviewing and start looking hard for that thing that verifies what's wrong.
Right.
rather than embrace what's
right.
What
I'm looking
is
for
a
that reason.
Feeling.
Looking for that reason to not to hire you versus to bring you in. So here I am. I'm missing it. You're that good person I've been searching for decades for, and here you are. And I let you slip through my fingers. I push you away. It's like, wait a minute. This is it.
That's right. That's where the overqualified comes from.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's a big part of it.
Well,
this person could do everything I want. Great. Perfectly, but I don't feel right about it. It's intimidating. It's a good word.
They can do everything I want, plus, 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 right? Plus this. Oh, I didn't even know I wanted or needed that stuff. All that stuff all kind of comes out. So here's what we see too, Jack, coming back to this whole idea about, we've talked a lot today about how do you, identify what a good person looks like, right? In terms of just, you giving some definition to it so you kind of know what you're looking for. So once you start to know what you're looking for, one of the things is, okay, now where do you go look for that person, right? And so people have done all kinds of things over the years, everything from, using online sites. You mentioned, you can get recruiters, you can do all kinds of different things. And one of the areas that's often untapped or not tapped well is, and if you're a first-time listener to this show, you may not have heard this before. If you're a long-time listener, you've heard us talk about this a lot, this whole concept of KLT, of know, like, and trust, right? And so what's funny about that, though, Jack, is the whole know, like, and trust, that's people who know, like, and trust you. And so what's funny is that usually when somebody's first starting out, their first hires come straight off that know, like, and trust list, Jack. All right, it's those friends and family, those folks who are very trusted, that the first people that you bring into the business are usually those people to help out, whether it be on the production front or doing some of the administrative front, taking care of the numbers, doing a little website here, doing whatever it might be. Also, you're starting to bring people who you know, like, and trust. You're starting to bring them into the business a little bit, right? And the challenge with that is usually that's not necessarily the best way to utilize your know, like, and trust list. One of the best ways to do it is to not try to hire those people, Jack, but it's to work through those people to get introductions to people that you'd like to hire, right? So if I know what I'm looking for, and I can define what that good person looks like as well in terms of some of those key qualities, imagine now sitting down with some of your know, like, and trust people and talking to them about what you're looking for. And you can have a real conversation and in detail about this kind of person. You start to kind of trigger in their mind in terms of who fills that role. Who do they know that fills a role like you're talking about, that has all those qualities that you're talking about? And so the idea of know, like, and trust isn't to look at that list about who can I hire from that, but it's about who can I talk to that might know people like this, right? That can help me meet the people I'm looking to meet to get that good person on board with my company.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good distinction. That's a very good point. You know, we help people in our coaching business. We're coaching our small business owners. We've coached a number of them on how to get and find companies to expand, to make acquisitions, small companies, you know, under a couple million in sales and could be a pizza shop, which is our favorite example. But the point is we counsel them. They start out, most we'll call it trusted advisors, will counsel our clients, most clients of theirs, basically, to work up a list of what characteristics you want in this company. And we'll go out and help you try to find it. Well, nothing could be further than the truth with small businesses. What they want to do, they'd love to have these things on that list, but the chances of finding it and getting it at the right price is almost impossible. So what we strongly suggest is turning over rocks, as we like to put it. Start meeting people. And meeting those people, develop an experience set that all of a sudden helps define what it is you're looking for. Because you're getting all these contrasts, and they're reconciling in your private thoughts when you come back, and all of a sudden you've interviewed 15, 20, 30 companies. And there's a commonality there, and there's all of a sudden good things and bad things. And you end up making an acquisition for something you never even thought of when you started out the process. Well, it's the same thing with good people. You know, you try to find good people. You start with a list. Here are the characteristics I'm looking for. But you have to go back to the feeling that we were talking about and the instinct. And if you've never really interviewed or experienced good people and the success you get from that and the good feelings and the good camaraderie, you aren't going to know it when you see it. Or conversely, to have the confidence because you've met so many people and talked to so many people. I like this person. I just like them. I like her. I like her. I think she'd be a great addition to the company. Well, why? I don't know. I can't explain these soft skills. You'll never know what I'm trying to think about until we bring her on board and hire her. And 6 months into this, we're going to say, my God, is she great? And I think most decisions, quality decisions, are made on those soft skills. And I think going back to our football analogy, that's what they do too, but they always blow it. It's still hard to do that. But I think that's a big part of success in trying to find somebody. You can't deny that. It's so hard to pick up, you know, people, especially humans. We don't conform real well to boxes and checkoffs, you know, that gives us a sense of understanding their technical aspects, but I don't think that's the real key to really liking and feeling good about a good person, you know, experiencing that. And it's so hard to explain what a what a good person does. Well, so it's impossible.
When you were talking about the whole feeling thing again, Jack, I was having flashbacks to my now 14-year-old daughter. She was trying to decide what high school she wanted to go to. And she visited a couple different high schools. And she talked about the one she wanted to go to. She says, you know, I don't know. I just get the feels when I'm there. All right? Mm-hmm. This is a 14-year-old talking to me, right? I said, okay, to your point. I said, well, you know what? There's a lot of things you're going to see in life that you can't necessarily explain logically why, but you have a feel about it, right? I said, and if you follow that feeling, most of the time, to your point, Jack, it's going to lead you to a positive outcome. And I think if many of us look back on our lives where things maybe didn't go so well, especially when it comes to people, it's probably those cases that were early on that we were feeling something that we kind of just kind of ignored it, or we kind of looked beyond it or stepped over it, right? And that little thing we stepped over at the beginning all of a sudden now became a much bigger problem as the days and weeks and months went by. And that could be true of any relationship you have. It could be something you had in your business, or it could be a personal relationship, right? But I think if you look back at some of those experiences, I think your point about the feeling that you get is a big part of that. That's why it's key that people look at it on paper is great. They check those boxes off, Jack, but that's why we do interviews. So I do multiple different interviews to see how people are on different days and see how you guys connect. Because if the camaraderie and the feel is good, most everything else falls right in the line after that.
That's right. Yeah, and because it's so hard to find. It's so hard to get that feeling. And it's a true, you know, we aren't a kumbaya kind of, well, most of us aren't a kumbaya kind of guy.
There's only two of us on here, but okay. That must be me. Look at my Kumbaya t-shirt going here, Jack. Hold on, okay.
The Kumbaya is a different feeling than the feeling of a competent, connected, good person, good hire, new person. I want this person in the organization. It's things are going to happen. And then I got to have, if I'm the boss, I got to have the confidence to go against the grain. Because usually, you know, I have a couple other people trying to wing their opinions in on this person if they're, you know, high enough of a hire, if you will. And everyone bring in five people and four are against, and I'm the only one for. So, you know, unless there's overwhelming evidence that says this person would be wrong, but the feeling is good, hell. I bucked the crowd. I bucked it before, and I'd do it again. And I think as a business owner, you got to do that. You got to make your decisions on how you feel, ultimately. So usually, if you aren't going to get that feeling if a person's a real klutz. All right? They probably score well, worst case, above average, or somewhere in the average, a little high on the higher level. So it's not going to wow you from a technical standpoint. But the demeanor, the willingness, the enthusiasm, the sincerity, the feel, all those things go into feel. This person said the right thing. They said two or three things that hit you right in the heart of your experience level through the years that says, by God, just the fact that they thought this way is worth 50 points. You know, it's very, very subjective, and that's okay. If you have not dealt with subjectivity, you're gonna end up getting technocrats. Different disciplines that we found out in our coaching days really have more of a problem with that than others. And you know, they focus hard on the technical, and they're afraid because they've never gotten much experience about hiring on a feeling. So, anyway.
Well, again, the feeling, we're talking a lot about the feeling tonight, Jack. And again, it's an important part after we know what we're looking for. You got to know what you're looking for first. But the feel kind of comes down. You got to understand what you're feeling and why. As we cover a lot here tonight, which I think is good to kind of give people a little softer view of this. And again, if nothing else, if you think about that simple Jim Collins question, Jack, that has been a great clarifier for folks over the years. Because it's true of any relationship, right? You know, if you're dating somebody and they said, hey, I want to break up with you. Again, would you be secretly relieved or would you be distraught? Same kind of thing, right? And we know deep in the recesses of our minds of how we would feel about that. We've even pined for those days, Jack, where they come in and, oh, finally, they took themselves out, right? So it's important to kind of have that mentality. I think a big thing too, Jack, we should just touch on briefly is don't give up on this. You know, it's something we've heard a lot about, especially the last few years, Jack, when the unemployment rate was so low, people were worried, hey, everybody's employed, I can't find good people. Obviously, the last few months with this COVID-19 pandemic going on, a lot of people are unemployed right now. There are a lot of good people out there. There are a lot of good people that are out there that are looking to do things differently, to change careers, to change jobs, to change what they're doing. So don't give up hope, I guess, is what I want to kind of part with tonight, Jack, in terms of, I think a lot of owners can get worn down, right? In terms of, hey, I keep doing this, and I keep getting the same result. I keep finding bad people. I keep hiring the wrong people. And they just finally just, maybe I can't ever get beyond it, right? Don't give up.
That's right.
Keep getting better. And keep searching because, again, what's one good person worth to your business? It is worth a ton. And so you got to keep turning those rocks over to find those people. And it starts with one good person, but it should be much more after that. But it starts with one good person. And if you can get that, and you see it, and you've seen it in action, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. You will. All right.
Okay, Mr. Adam.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or you get them all at our Facebook page as well. Better yet, if you want to subscribe to it, you can do that with your smart device. You can catch us on almost any podcast player from Spotify to Apple to iTunes to iHeartRadio, you name it. You can go subscribe and it gets delivered right to your smart device every week. If you want to be part of the show, we always look for your comments. You want to contribute, you can do that by emailing us at radio@maximumvp.com. Or if you want to chat, we'd like to talk too. You can do that, 877-849-0670. All right. Thanks again for joining us in this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. And we'll see you guys next week. All right, Jack?
You got it. Yep. All right. Okay.
We'll see you.